Revelation 19. I'm only going to read one verse for our text today. We'll probably look at some other verses in the chapter, but the Bible says in verse number 10 of Revelation 19, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity to come and preach your word. We pray today, dear Lord, that the Holy Spirit might take thy word and put it into our hearts and give us the comfort and the challenging that we need today from your word. We pray that, dear Father, today that we might say something here today that'll help somebody as we travel through this world of sin. And for all that you do, we want to praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Here the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what does that mean this morning? Why is this included in God's revelation to us today? Well, you know, when you begin to read the Bible, you'll find that they, especially in the Old Testament, there are many people who are called prophets, and they're not really predictors. They're simply proclaimers. They're not really foretelling the future. They're forthtelling the future. They're speaking under the inspiration of the Lord God himself. Peter said that they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And today, as you begin to study the Old Testament, you find today that it's all about Jesus. That's what the entire Bible's about. That's what all of biblical prophecy is about today. It's a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all intertwined today. And when you begin to read and see the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, you realize that today it's not just random facts that God has given to us, but a real revelation from the Lord that progresses all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelation today. You see, Jesus Christ is the focal point of all history today. All history today is moving toward the second coming of Jesus. Every event that we see taking place in our world today draws us closer to the return of the Lord. Paul called today it the blessed hope of the Christian this morning. You see, Jesus is the ray of hope in a world that's really dominated by darkness today. You see, Jesus came the first time to a cross to save us this morning. He came to die upon Golgotha's hill that we might find forgiveness of our sins, that we might find redemption through his blood. The Bible says that he's coming again today, not to a cross, but he's coming again to a crown. He's coming not as the suffering Savior, but he's coming as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's coming this morning as God's Son today to be the righteous, rightful King of this universe. If you study the Bible, you'll find that, as I said, all biblical prophecy today is about Jesus. The book of Psalms, as we can look at that for just a moment this morning, and you'll find that there the psalmist, as they write under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all those psalms are about Jesus today. If you study Psalms 22, you will find today that there we find the words and the emotions of Jesus. We read there about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Jesus in Psalms number 22 as the suffering Savior of glory, dying for the sins of all humanity today. He cries in verse 1, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what he cried from the cross, wasn't it, this morning? And as you read down through that psalm, you find today the Lord Jesus Christ as pictured and prophesied in the Old Testament book of Psalms as the suffering Savior of glory, dying for our sins. When you get to Psalms 23, you find here that God pictures him as the shepherd of the saved. as that individual who guides and directs and leads us and feeds us and provides for us and takes care of us today on this journey through this world of sin and woe. And Psalms 23 is a picture of what Jesus does for God's children after their salvation. He today becomes our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd today. He's the one that leads and guides and directs. But when you get to Psalms 24, you find here that God pictures him not as a savior, not as a shepherd, but here he is as the sovereign King of glory. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I want to tell you, he's coming today to claim this world because it belongs to him this morning. We live today in a world that's filled today with dread and doom and a lot of fear and terror. You know, today I saw a sign the other day. I don't remember where I saw it, but it said, the only thing greater than fear is hope. The only thing greater than fear is hope. I'm glad we have hope this morning. I'm glad that we have a great hope for the children of God. I'm glad today that Jesus died for my sins. I'm glad today that he is the shepherd that leads and guides, directs, protects, and provides as I travel through this world. But praise God, I'm glad that one day I'm going to see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he is the hope that keeps us going this morning. There is a thing that the Bible talks about today, and the great hope of the Christian today is the rapture this morning. Several years ago, I was in the North Mississippi Medical Center, and I went in to visit a deacon in our church over in Alabama, and his wife sometimes could get all mixed up, believe me, and she was there with another lady, and they were talking, and when I came in, I talked to him a moment, and she said, "Well, Brother Edge, we were just talking about the rupture of the church." And I thought, well, you probably don't know how correct you are, but we're not talking about the rupture today. We're going to talk about the rapture this morning. The rapture of God's people from this world of sin and woe today. What does it mean to us? What does that literally mean to us today when we talk about the rapture? Why today should we even mention it? Well, I'll just give you a few simple thoughts this morning about the rapture, and then maybe you can see how it'll help you as you travel on this journey of life. You see, we should be this morning living in a state of anticipation. Anticipation. You know, Jesus said, "Watch ye, therefore." We ought to be looking. That's what Paul said in Titus 2:13, looking for the coming of our Lord and great God, our Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to be anticipating today and looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus could come at any moment. It's a minute today. Might not be immediate, but I want to tell you, Jesus can come at any moment of time today. Several years ago, I had a lady in a church, and she was a really sweet lady. One of the sweetest ladies I ever met in my entire life. And she's a real Christian lady, and she told me one time, she said, "You know, Brother Edge, I get up every morning looking for the Lord. I get up every day looking for him to come." Somebody says, what in the world are you going to do, Miss Carrie, if he doesn't come today?" You know what she said? She said, "Well, if he doesn't come today, I'll just look for him tomorrow." Anticipation. We should live in a state of anticipation. We should be anticipating the Lord could come at any moment. I often think about my mother when she was in the hospital over in Tupelo before she died. And she was there, of course, with cancer. And, you know, my brother, my youngest brother, my baby brother, lives up in Illinois. And he worked for a company at that time called Penthouse Industries. Now, not the magazine. It was a furniture factory. And they had a factory or two here in Mississippi. And they would fly down occasionally, and when they'd fly down, the manager would go and get Bob, and he'd say, why don't you just fly down on the plane and see your mama, and you can stay with her today and then come back tomorrow. Really nice. They always would bring him down, and I never knew when he might come. Sometimes they'd just get ready to come, and they'd come in. He'd just get in the plane and fly down. But he'd always call mama and tell her he was coming, and always knew the day that he was coming. You know how? Every morning before I went to work, I'd go by and see mama. Most of the day, she'd be laying in the bed, and, you know, I'd say, how you doing, mama? Well, I'm okay. But when I went in, and she was sitting up in that chair, and that hair was fixed, she done got a bath. I mean, she was waiting. I said, Bob's coming, ain't he? Her baby was coming. She was anticipating her baby coming. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get up every morning anticipating the Lord to come. We ought to anticipate that the Lord could come at any moment of time. Back when I was a boy, I had, they had when the jets first began to come into our country, began to fly around, and, you know, they'd have those sonic booms. I mean, sometimes they would just really go really loud. And the one time we had a preacher named Buford Harper up in Lee County, and he told my daddy, he said, you know, Mr. Edge, he said, man, I was going up the road the other day, and he said, I was just all having a good time talking to the Lord. And he said, all at once, he said, that was the biggest boom, the biggest shout. He said, I ain't never heard anything like it in my life. He said, I pulled my car off over to the side and jumped out and said, Lord, is that you coming? We ought to live in a world of anticipation. We ought to be anticipating the Lord could come at any moment of time. But not only should we think about the anticipation, we need to think about evacuation. You know, Jesus said there'd be two in the field. One would be taken and the other left. One would be taken and the other left. We just watched down in the southern part of our state, and of course in Louisiana, when they began to evacuate people because of Hurricane Isaac, and we can see all of those as they begin to leave that part of the country. I don't think there's going to be a great evacuation one of these days because the Lord's going to come. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, you look at those two verses very carefully, there's a word that occurs four times in those two verses. And when the Lord puts one word four times in two verses of Scripture, maybe we ought to kind of take notice of what God is telling us this morning. And the word is very simple. It's a very small word, but it's the word today that we ought to think about. It's the word shall. Shall. You know, that word today is a promise. It's a surety. It's something that's guaranteed to come to pass. And God here makes a promise and gives us a guarantee, gives us a certainty to this morning, a surety of some things that are going to happen one day. The first thing he says is that there's going to be a reentry. Notice what he said. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I'm saying, well, the Lord's coming again. That's what he's saying there. The Lord himself. He's not going to send an emissary. He's not going to send a representative. He's going to come himself. You know, sometimes when we live in a time that people are kind of like caught up in this UFO movement, and they're wondering, is there life on other planets? Is there today intelligent life on planets other than Earth? Of course, we hear a lot about it in UFOs, and have there been visitors from outer space. And I read a book several years ago called Chariots of the Gods, and it talked about how that years ago there were people that came from outer space and started this world and started Earth today, and a lot of different things today that certainly were no scientific and certainly no scriptural foundation today. But somebody asked me not long ago, said, you believe that there's ever been a visitor from outer space? I said, I sure do. I said, all I can tell you, when Jesus was born, the angels came. Amen? The angels came, and they sang on the hillsides of glory. But you see, we're not looking today for an alien to come. We're looking today for Jesus to come. As he was being, as he went back into heaven, as he ascended back into glory after the resurrection. The Bible said that two men appeared there and asked the disciples, what are you gaping at? What are you looking at? Said, this same Jesus. This same Jesus is going to come again in a like manner. You see, it's the same Jesus today. It's not a different Jesus. We live in a world today that's got a different Jesus for a lot of people. And a lot of people, Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. I can assure you of that this morning. And but the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same Jesus is coming again. That tells us today that he's not changed. That he's still the same Jesus that walked the hills and the trails of Galilee. He's the same Jesus that had compassion on those that he met along the way. He's the same Jesus that brought forgiveness and redemption to those of his day. He's the same Jesus today. And the Bible said that he's coming again, that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I'm glad the Lord's coming, amen. I'm glad today he's not sending somebody else to get me. I'm glad, praise God, he's coming himself. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. So we're going to have a great reentry. We're going to have a resurrection. Well, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. A great resurrection this morning. You know, you read in the Bible when Jesus was at the graveside of Lazarus, he said in a loud voice, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said, why did he call him by name? Because everybody else would have come out if he'd have simply said, come forth. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. When he died upon the cross, and as he was dying, and he cried, it is finished. Telestai, it's finished, it's over. The Bible said that as he bowed his head and died, that the graves of some of the saints in Jerusalem were opened, and they began to walk in the city, the streets of Jerusalem this morning. Here we find today as he speaks and as he shouts, the Bible said, for the Lord himself that ascended from heaven with the voice of the archangel with the trump of God. You see, he's going to shout, and what's going to happen today? The dead in Christ are going to rise. Millions are going to rise out of their grave. They're going to come out of the oceans and the jungles. They're going to come out of graveyards. They're going to come out of unmarked graves. We have no idea where everybody that's ever died has been buried, but I want to tell you, thank God the Lord does today. He's going to shout today, and the people of God are going to come forth. The dead in Christ shall come forth. I said, what does that mean? Well, you either die one of two ways this morning. You either die in Christ or you die in your sins. There is no middle ground. You're either dead in Christ or you're dead in your sins. You know, sometimes we get to thinking and, you know, we've lost loved ones. And we've had to follow a casket. We've had to lower that casket down in the ground. We've had to walk away from that graveside and thinking, well, what a sad and sorrowing moment. What a time of grief that we have in our hearts. But you know, I want to tell you this morning, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ain't had our last look yet, amen? We haven't had our last look. Why? Because the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. I like what the Bible begins to talk about in that hour when there's no more. No more. Be a song when I was several years ago, a Southern gospel song called Hallelujah Square. And it talked about a blind man, but he said in Hallelujah Square there won't be any blind people. In Hallelujah Square there won't be any lame people. In Hallelujah Square there won't be any more death. Praise God, I want to tell you this morning, hallelujah, the Lord's coming and the dead in Christ are going to rise first today. We're going to have a great resurrection. Then we're going to have a rapture. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to be caught up. We're going to be raptured. If you don't sleep, if you haven't died in Christ, you're going to be caught up. And over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21, that's a great verse of scripture there. I read that every once in a while. He said, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? Who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body? I read one time that the human body changes completely every 7 years, that every cell, everything in your body dies and it's replaced over a 7 year period of time. Well, I got news for them. Some of them didn't come back into mine. Amen. But you know, there's going to come a day when our body is going to be changed like unto his glorious body. When we're going to be totally and completely changed by the Lord. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. The Bible said it's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know how quick that is, but that's a quick time today. The twinkling of an eye. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, we like to get new clothes. And, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, it'd be good to get new clothes put on this old body, isn't it? What's going to be great when we get a new body to put on these old clothes? Amen. The Lord's going to rapture us. He's going to take us out of this world. We're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the air this morning. Somebody said, how's that going to happen? What's going to take place? Well, the Lord's going to come, the dead in Christ will rise. Those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up, and we're going to all meet together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I used to wonder how that be explained. You ever thought about that? How can you explain? How will they explain away all the people that's missing? And I read something not long ago, and it kind of struck me. And I'm not getting into all the New Age stuff, but this New Age movement that's going on around our world today, they have their own rapture. I didn't realize that. And I read a statement by one of their leading supporters. Books have been written. And this is what it said. If we don't start making sure that we take care of planet Earth, Earth is going to transport us out of here and get rid of all the bad people. Well, guess what? Christians are going to be the bad people. Hallelujah today. They're going to explain it away. You see, they'd rather believe a lie as the truth. That's the thing about it, you see. You ever heard of such a mess? I mean, just because we don't take care of the planet, so the planet's going to reject us. But they won't believe about Jesus. Isn't that amazing today? But they're going to explain it away. Millions are going to be gone, and they're going to explain it away. Then there's going to be a reunion. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that'll be. Well, you ever thought about a street of gold, and gate of pearl, trees of fruit, and rivers of the water of life, and no thieves and no night? We shall ever be with the Lord. We shall ever be with the Lord. Boy, it's going to be a great reunion, isn't it? I want to see Jesus. I want to sit at his feet. You know, there's a lot of other folks we're going to get to see out this morning. So shall we ever be with the Lord? But there's another thing we need to think about this morning, and that's examination. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in the second epistle in the 13th chapter, I believe it's verse number 5. Listen to what he said. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Paul said you better examine yourself. You better take a close look this morning. You better make sure that you're ready for the Lord to come. That's what Paul's saying. That's what I'm saying to you today. Most important and the most compelling question that could ever be asked of you today is this, very simply, are you saved? Amen. If you're not saved, nothing else matters. And if you are saved, nothing else matters. You ever thought about how important that is? The Lord's coming. There's no doubt about that. The Scripture is totally and completely full that the Lord's coming. The signs of the times are certainly all around us. The Bible is being fulfilled. And the Lord could come at any moment of time. Somebody said, you're trying to scare people. No, I'm telling you the truth today. The Lord could come at any moment of time. Jesus gave a parable of some virgins that were waiting for the bridegroom. Five were wise and five were foolish. Five were ready and five were not. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? You see, that's the next word, and that's very simple, jubilation. You see, in Revelation 19 in our text this morning, the Bible talks there about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says that the bride hath made herself ready. Jubilation today. There's going to be great celebration when the Lord comes. Revelation 19:1 says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I like the way Sonny Bella said that. Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Verse 3, and again they said, Hallelujah. Verse number 6. Hallelujah for the Lord God, omnipotent, right. Let us be glad and rejoice. There's going to be a time of jubilation and celebration today. Because we're there with the Lord. But if you study the last part of Revelation 19, you're going to find it's not going to be a celebration there. It's going to be a horrible time. If you're ready for the bridegroom, we're going to have a celebration. There used to be a song that said, I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. We're going to have a great celebration, a great jubilation today when the Lord comes, if you're saved. But if you're not saved this morning, if you're not ready for the Lord to come, you're going to be on the outside. You're going to be cast into outer darkness. You're not going to have the privilege of being in the presence of the Lord. If you don't have the wedding garment, and the wedding garment today has been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. If you don't have that wedding garment on, you'll be cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Are you ready for the Lord to come? Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? Understand this, Jesus is coming. Several years ago, I think around 1996, I believe it was, a man by the name of Bill Gates wrote a book called The Road Ahead. And he talked about all the technological advances that were going to take place in the world. And when you begin to read it, it sounded a little bit like science fiction. But we see all of those things come to pass. We've seen all of the things that have been predicted come to pass. You know, I remember when I was a kid and we used to read Dick Tracy. I don't know if y'all ever heard of Dick Tracy or not, but He had a wrist radio you could look at and people would talk to you. Well, we got wrist radios now, haven't we? I get videos of my grandchildren all the time. You see, we all the technological advances that Bill Gates said gonna come to pipe that coming. But Bill Gates may have all the answers for technology, but let me tell you the road ahead, the only real road ahead today, and the only real answer is Jesus. The spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Without Jesus, nothing else matters. Are you ready for the Lord to come this morning? Somebody said, what if I'm not? Well, I hate, let's not be ugly. Well, let me understand this very carefully. Whether you're ready or not, he's coming anyhow. Right. Are you ready for the Lord to come today? All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. If you're not ready, the Lord will save you this morning, and you can be ready today. Lord, we thank you today for all this.